welcome to the next episode of the Radio Nasties podcast. With me, Vic, and my co-host, Richard.
I guess the real Texas Chainsaw Massacre was the friends we made along the way.
Well, goodbye, ladies and gentlemen. He's annoyed me already. I'm off. This is our first episode since the end of our Texas Chainsaw Massacre marathon.
Yeah, it's kind of nice when we know what we're already doing.
Yeah.
Even if it's something bad, we can mentally self-prepare
ourselves.
Exactly.
Especially when you've seen the movie before, you're like, I know what's going on.
I'm genuinely have no idea if you pick something good or bad or good bad.
Guess what? I don't either.
Oh, okay. This is a...
It's another one of... I'm going to start calling them Vic's experiments. Or maybe Vic's guinea pigs? I don't know.
No, that sounds
wrong. I like
wrong.
Vic's, yeah, experiments. You don't know want to know what I do with guinea pigs.
Oh, dear. Is it usually that brown?
So, yeah, this is another kind of... I don't really know what I'm getting into here because I don't remember the movie.
Do you remember any movies you watch?
I remember most movies I watch, but I have a... I have kind of like a... It's kind of like a little pack for films that... Well, before, films that hadn't come out in England on Blu-ray. So I'd get the DVD... But I wouldn't. I'd store the cases and put the DVDs into this pack, and usually they end up being like films I watch once maybe, and then Feast is in this pack. This is where Feast.
Okay.
It's kind of like kind of blind buys that I go. Don't really want to try and find a region free Blu-ray version because it's too expensive. So I'll just get the DVD. This is one of them.
Right, okay.
It's quite fun diving into this pack every now and again. Me and Charlotte do it every now and again because I'm like, what's this? We usually put it on.
It's a pile of shit.
Yeah. Well, Charlotte, when I mentioned this film, she was like, oh, didn't we watch that? And I was like, I'm pretty sure we've watched everything now. And she said, oh, I remember hating it.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
That'll mean it's good.
Yeah, probably, yeah. So this is a 2006, pretty much zero budget movie, directed by Jim Mickle, who directed a couple of my favourite films. Well, you know, some of my favourite films.
Okay. Like
Stakeland.
I've
mentioned before. And Cold in July. It also stars Nick DiMicci, which he's the main guy from Stakeland. He's in Cold in July. He also wrote this as well. I think he writes quite a lot of things with this Jim Mickle. But as Jim Mickle's got quite big since this. Not big, but he's done well. I think he's got an Amazon series, or it's just been cancelled.
I think I've got an Amazon series
to be fair. So, yeah, it is. It's also got a different title in England.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. I don't know if there's another film with the title that is in America, but in America, it is called Mulberry Street.
Right.
And in England, it's called Zombie Virus on Mulberry Street.
They just had to...
I guess they watched it and went, oh... They're not going to know it's about zombies. So put it on to cover. Yeah. What a horrible, horrible title.
Yeah.
Like Mulberry Street's all right. It's like, well, I don't know what that is, but...
Could be anything.
Zombie Virus on Mulberry Street. Did your child write this? But yeah, let's dive into this probable pile of shit. And yeah, we'll see you when we come back. We're back from from Zombie Virus on Mulberry Street.
I think I like the American title.
Just Mulberry Street, like. Is it even a zombie virus?
At the very root of it, I guess, but not really. Not enough for me to put zombie in the title.
Zombie virus? Even zombies on Mulberry Street would have been better than Zombie
Virus on Mulberry Street.
See if they called it Ratman Virus. I'd be like, I'm buying this on
Blu-ray. Oh, yeah. I've
got a steelbook.
I don't think there's a steelbook for this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, there should be, but...
Yeah.
I mean, there's a fucking steelbook of Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Very true.
Which we both own.
That had triple the budget of this movie, like quadruple the budget of this movie.
And worse effects.
I was going to say, this movie looks better than Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Oh dear.
Right, shall we get into it?
Let's rock and roll.
This is, I suppose in a sense, quite a basic one, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it was a better American remake of Wreck than the American remake of Wreck. This came out before.
This movie made me uncomfortable because I was like, kind of reminds me of what I'm going through right now. I'm waiting for the rat people to show up now.
What's that at the door?
Oh, it turns out the coronavirus makes rat people.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
You'd still get people like, well, I've got rights.
Please.
Well, if you don't wear a mask, you're turned into a rat person.
So that's my own decision. My body, my choice.
My rat body.
I don't think you're thinking about this enough, to be honest with you. Weirdly enough, though, the movie opens with images of rats moving about.
Yeah, in a green-lit sewer.
Yeah. So then as the credits play, we're introduced to our main character, and this is Nick D'Amici. I love this guy. This is the main character of Stakeland.
Clutch.
Clutch, yeah. Very New Yorkian name, I guess. What the hell, yeah.
Well, yeah, I remember when I went to New York, every other person I met was called Clutch.
Hey there, Clutch. What you doing at this bar here, Clutch? Well, that's two different people in one sentence he's talking to then. Yeah, old Clutch is just going about his day.
Having a run.
He's doing a Rocky, and he's just running about the city. Except he's an ex-boxer. And
I want to see a Rocky film where guys are punching rat people.
Yeah.
Red people, Adrian.
He's a wrecking machine. We hear news articles talking about there's some kind of like construction or something going on because I think a lot of people are getting evicted from that. I assume like they're ripping down the old apartment buildings and putting new fancy ones.
Fancy. I can't blame them. The apartment looks like fucking shit.
Yeah. Shame about the people. You've got to go now. Where? I don't know. When? Tomorrow?
Where am I going?
Am I being evicted?
No, my problem. Yeah. We've got to make room for all the rat people. Excuse me?
But when Clutch reaches the end of his run, he has a little chat with Wheelchair Man, the Vietnam vet that you liked. That was in it for
the things that I don't think he's in. No, I think he's just dressed in army gear.
It was it annoyed me a little bit he wasn't in it more. He's like essentially the first victim, I guess, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, this whole like opening bit is essentially just introducing the characters, I suppose, isn't it? But they do it in a very like normal way, I suppose, don't they?
Where it's mundane.
It's like he's going about his day and he's just bumping into his mates. Because he bumps into I think he's the super of the building. You wouldn't be able to tell because it's literally just a New York guy with a vest on.
That's how you identify the superintendents.
Yeah. They chat about getting evicted. I think they say something about, the bad guys have won again, have they? And Clutch is like, yeah, you know, like, how long do you think we've got? And he's like, oh, just read it yourself. You started the conversation. And another guy, I never got this guy. I think his name's Robbie or something, or Bobby. Because I know the old boy's called Reggie, I think. I think it was Reggie and Robbie or something.
I lost track of everybody's name in this, to be honest.
Most of them but him. But he moans about the water not running. You know, obviously they're like, well, nobody cares because it's getting ripped down, so. And Clutch helps. You like to call her crack woman.
Crack bitch.
A crack bitch. Sorry, yeah. I didn't get her name. But apparently her name is Casey.
Oh, I thought Casey was the daughter.
Or maybe it is. Yeah, no, Corporal Casey, because it's on the cake, isn't it?
Yeah.
So she's Kay?
She's crack bitch.
I don't know.
She looks like she's on crack. Yeah. At no point do they suggest that she is on crack.
No.
She seems but like she she's looks
a normal woman.
To me, like she's on crack.
Yeah. But Clutch seems to have a little thing for her, doesn't he?
Yeah. I don't know why.
No, I don't. Maybe, like I said, he's got nothing better to fuck, I guess.
It's you or the gay man.
Yeah. So the guy that was complaining about no water, I think his name's Robbie, he goes outside and he's doing a fucking scratch card. Like down the street. He walks past a cardboard box with a corpse in it.
Doesn't notice.
No.
Just doesn't win his scratch card, chucks it away.
Yeah.
Doesn't notice the...
Near enough on the corpse. He's like, you can have this. It's fucking shite.
Well, turns out I won.
But that's the first inclination that something's going on.
Yeah.
So yeah, Nick helps crack bitch or Kay into her apartment building. I think this is where she mentions that he was an ex-boxer.
Yeah.
Is very important. It's great later on, the fact that he used to be a boxer. But Clutch goes back to his own apartment and he gets a voicemail from his daughter, which is, I think, is Casey. And she is, it's kind of like interspersed with her leaving the message, and we see her. She's kind of got like a scarred up face.
Yeah. Because
she's an ex.
With some of the worst prosthetic scars I've seen.
Yeah, they look awful. They're not great. But she's apparently been in like, well, war. She's an ex soldier. Like, I don't know where she's been, but I assume it's like Iraq or something.
Yeah, based on the time of the film, I'm going to guess.
Yeah. And also at this point, Clutch hears like a helicopter. He looks out his window and there's about five of them.
And they're all CGI.
Yeah, they're not good. They're better than Texas Chainsaw, though. So, swings around. Yeah,
not the worst CGI we've seen these past few weeks.
This didn't have a budget, so I understand this CGI.
You can forgive this for its terrible effect, being a no-budget film.
Yeah. So, the wheelchair man is sharpening a knife. This only added to your expectations of his...
I know, right?
Of his Vietnam...
I'm so let down.
Yeah. He hears some sort of, like, music box. Like a music thing playing. Before, when him and Clutch were talking, this little girl kind of walked past them and put this, like...
She was like, sort of showing it off. Like, yeah. Look what I've got.
It's that thing. It's like a little music thing attached to a bag or something.
Yeah.
So he's obviously, like...
I jumped to the conclusion that he was a paedophile.
Yeah, he'd taken the child.
Luckily, this film's not that dark.
No. But kind of dark, because the poor wheelchair man is killed pretty much straight after this.
Yeah, someone not appears... as dark as a nonsense, though, is it?
I mean, there's not much that is. Poor wheelchair man, or Vietnam man, is the first kill. He looks like he just gets his fucking head bashed down. Casey is at the train station, waiting for the train back, and she gets into conversation with this guy.
I think he's just obviously works at the train station, because he tells her off, like, oh, you shouldn't be leaving your bags.
Yeah, he's like, don't leave it unattended, and she's like, you know, I'm sorry. And then he looks at her and clicks.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, are you just coming back? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, well, you know, no matter what anybody else thinks, like, I do respect what you're doing over there. Which is right, I suppose. Like,
gotta get our oil from somewhere.
Yeah, the war was terrible, but it's not their fault, I guess, is it? The poor soldiers that got fucking... Casey's fucking faces all, like, sliced up.
I know a way she can get around that.
So then we're introduced to Frank, who is the black gay guy of the movie.
Who also has a thing for Clutch.
Yes. Well, we get introduced to him and he's shaving his armpits in the shower. And then the water goes off, which makes sense because they were complaining about the water. And the super is down in the basement trying to fix the problem, obviously. And he finds a seemingly dead rat. The effect for this rat reminded me of the first corpse. I think it's the first corpse that you see in Night of the Living Dead. The one at the top of the stairs.
Yeah, you mentioned that one. Yeah, the one that's lying down.
Yeah, I don't know what it was about it, but it just reminded me of that.
No. Once you mentioned it, I saw it as well. So
I think it was the rat's got like a big eye. And I was like, that looks like that.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the rat isn't dead. And it jumps up and bites the poor super. But it's okay, because nothing will come of that. He might have to go and get a shot or something, but it'll be all right.
It's nothing drastic, is it?
Nick has a good old spy, a crack bitch. when she's putting out her laundry, because her son Otto comes up afterwards and they have kind of like a semi-bonding session, because he's like, oh, you know, he used to be a boxer. And then he makes a joke to Otto about him, like, you know.
I think
like,
they were throwing off a bit of a red herring, though, because he gets out of school by saying he's got a fever.
Yeah.
So they're obviously trying to make it, oh, he's infected, and then he's just not.
Is that what the mum was pissed off about?
Maybe it was.
There was a point where we'd missed it and we're too lazy to rewind the film 2 seconds, and she was angry at him about something, so maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's what she called in sick. Yeah. And she was like, oh, you're skiving again, you dick, all I do is crack.
Again, it's great because there's nothing to suggest that she does crack.
No. We get another news article of they're saying that the subway is being shut down now, because obviously shit is getting real. And the super he fixes Frank's water problems now. But he's kind of looking worse and worse every time you see him, isn't he?
Yeah.
The super guy. On the train, Casey is, like, sitting next to this fucking, you know, pretty, pretty girl. And she just gives her a bright fucking look. It's like, oh, you've got a scarred face, you dirty bitch.
Because Casey tends to do this thing where she'll, like, cover her scars with a fringe.
Yeah,
and she's like, oh, shit, my scars are showing.
Don't do that. She's the bitch. Fucking like, can you imagine just sitting on a train and just being like, ugh.
How dare you exist in front of me?
Did you have to get them wounds? No, I didn't really want them. But then we're introduced to the old boy, Reggie, who's in a bar. He's got, like, health problems, and he's got, like, one of them oxygen tanks that he has to breathe through. And he hears a noise, gets up, obviously thinking, what the fuck, rightly so. And it turns out the super's just in there. He's like, what are you doing in here? And he's like, oh, I was fixing your water. And then the old boy's like, you look a bit clammy. It's like, yeah, he does actually. He looks a bit fucked up. And it's funny, because the reason for the problem in the Reggie's bathroom is he's got his dentures, like, I'm guessing it's
clogged in the toilet.
Yeah, in the plug hole. Oh, the toilet, yeah, maybe he's flushed his dentures. It's funny, because when he brings them out, the old boy's like, oh, I was looking for them. It's like, your teeth? I'd hope so.
It's like, no, I can bite something good.
Yeah.
It's like something Frank would say.
Yeah. Clutch and Frank, they talk about how, you know, he's got a thing for the crack blonde. And Frank's like, you know, you could do better. Why are you going for crack people?
You could do me.
This is where you see that Frank's got a thing for Clutch. Because he's kind of like, saying everything but, you know, like, oh, she's no good for you. Do you know what I mean? That typical fucking thing.
I can get jealousy, but not for somebody who has different sexual orientation. It's like
fair play, mate, but I'm not gay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, you really are barking up the wrong tree because, like, I don't like cock.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, like, I'm your best mate. They're like best mates as well. Yeah. So it's like, I really don't want to ruin this.
Yeah. Because it definitely comes off as a romantic thing, not a protected of your mate, like, no, oh yeah, she's not good annoyed. Enough for you. It's,
yeah,
I want your penis.
Yeah,
don't give it to her. Because he even confronts her, doesn't she?
I think she asks him about. She asks Frank about Clutch's first wife, and then he again gives her like.
Well, he says something like, "Oh, she was a very pretty woman, and he's a very handsome man." Yeah, and then just walks off,
and you're like, "All right, chill out, mate." Even she's like, "What have I done?" Well, we see the super is running a shower, and he notices in the mirror that he has a bit more hair on his ears than he should do.
It's just a little bit, but
it's like hair growing off his fucking earlobe. Yeah. And then he just shaves it off.
He's
like,
casually.
Get rid of this. It's a bit weird, but you know. The rats are going like mental underground, and it seems like he's kind of connected to them now. Because he kind of hears the noises, and he kind of like goes into a trance, like as if he's, you know, he's feeling these rats underneath.
But what is this when he's is this when the black dude comes to like check on him?
No, that's a bit later on. Because this is the part where you're on about where the crack bitch and Frank talk about, you know, and he says he's a very handsome man. So the no water got the scratch card guy that walks past the box, he's in a bar and he's talking to the bartender about the guy down the end. He's like, what the fuck happened to him? And he's like, oh, some lads attacked him on the street and one of them bit him. And it's like, oh dear, you're going to become a rat man, aren't you?
Imagine he just knew, like, you're going to be a rat man, aren't you? What, why'd you say that? I've just got a feeling.
He goes over to him, doesn't he? And he's like, oh, are you all right? And then he's just like, yeah, and then walks out. And you're like, don't think he is all right, to be honest with you.
No, he's always like that.
Yeah. And there's also another news article about they're actually mentioning the rats biting now. And they are doing the typical fucking thing where they're like, you know, not trying to cause panic. And they're like, it's an isolated incident. Like, you know, it's not that, you know, it's none of these are related. And it's like, well, they blatantly are then now you've said that. You know straight away in the news that, like, no, it's not related. Well, it's like, so it's related then. Is that what you're trying to... Otto's in his room and he's taking pictures. This annoyed me, this bit, because, like, he's taking pictures of, like, things around his room. And he's got this pet white rat. And this white rat is obviously not very happy with this fucking camera flash. So what does he do? He gets his fucking rat, puts it right in front of the camera and starts flashing his camera at it. It's like, obviously the thing doesn't like it.
It makes sense when you get later in the film, like, why they've done this, but it's still...
It just makes Otto seem like a sadistic cunt.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you need to do that? Because the super shows up at his flat now, and Otto really isn't, like, paying attention to him. He doesn't even turn around to talk to him, and he's kind of just like, oh, how did you get in here? And it's a good job he doesn't turn around, because the super looks fucked now. Like, he's all black around his face. Like, he I don't know what he looks like. He just looks fucking weird. So the crack bitch who works in... She works in a different bar, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Or some sort of coffee shop or something like that.
I think it is a bar, because when later on it gets quite busy, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think Clutch finds her in the room where they store the beer as well, doesn't he? She sees the continuing news articles about the attacks arising and that there was probably a potential quarantine coming soon. Because they're like, actually, this is... maybe you should panic. This
well, the good thing about quarantines is people always take them really seriously do as they're told. And
well, we haven't had... They actually send like an announcement out on a siren now, don't they? We haven't had that yet.
Yeah, yet.
I'm not fucking... Yet. Mate, I was saying this like a couple of months ago. I was like, when are the announcements going to start coming out? Like, go back to your homes. It's 6 o'clock. You get all the chavs like, fuck you.
I'm listening to a fucking siren. I'll
get fucking corona, mate. Did you see that Noel Gallagher came out and he was like, I'm not wearing a fucking mask. If I get it, then it's my own fault. And it's like, what about the other people, mate?
Yeah, but he's rich, so...
So Clutch is helping the old boy Reggie to shave, which I find very nice. He seems to help, like, all the people in this...
yeah.
Like, they all kind of seem to, like... stick together this apartment complex.
Yeah, it's like a very tight-knit community.
Yeah, and the old boy, you know, Clutch says, I'm going out, I'm going to go get some stuff. And he's like, do you want any? And he's like, because the scratch card guy, Charlie, he lives with Reggie, the old boy. And he's like, when Clutch says, I'm going to go out, he's like, you know, what do you want to get you? He's like, oh, get me a cigar. Don't tell Charlie. He's like, oh, get me a beer, but don't tell Charlie. And it's funny because he's like, you know, are you sure you want me to get you this stuff? Like, I'll get you and I won't tell Charlie, but are you sure? And he's like, I fought all the way to Normandy and back. And you're like, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. You want a beer and a cigar, you have it, mate. You've earned it.
Yeah. So the crack bitch, I think she's putting some garbage out or something. She starts noticing, like, people on the street that are like, it's kind of like... There's, like, regularly someone coming down the street that looks fucked up now, doesn't it? Like,
yeah.
Oh, this is getting pretty bad. Clutch shows up to drop some off to her before the guy that was bitten from the other bar, he comes to her bar now. And he's obviously getting increasingly fucked up. Casey's, you know, she's reached their destination now. She's walking through the streets, like, kind of, like, going, what the fuck? Like you said something like, well, she was gonna go in through the street and it's obviously pandemonium now. And she's like, well, maybe I should have stayed in fucking Iraq.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because like, she was at the train station and there was a thing saying, like, all trains have been cancelled. So,
yeah, she has to walk through, doesn't she? She can't take the subway because the subway's obviously closed. We see the super cutting up some weird looking meat. Like, it doesn't look right. I wonder if that's that dead rat. You know, from the basement that he's brought upstairs. Like, I don't know, but he's chopping up and he's just eating it raw. And you're like, mate, I mean...
At least cook it first.
Yeah, like, that meat looks fucked up. And this is the part you were on about, because Frank comes up and checks on him. He's like, oh, I've got a problem with my bait, with my my water.
Because you're sort of hearing it as him and it's all muffled. Yeah. You're just hearing it.
And he's like, you okay? Like, so, you don't look good. Yeah, he kind of just, like, shoves him off, doesn't he?
He's like, yeah, I'm fine. He even asks, like, do you smell something? And then he's like, no, what are you on about? He's like, my nose must be.
Yeah, because he says, like, oh, are you wearing something musty?
Yeah, that's what he says.
Like, and the black guy looks, like, offended, because he's like, I never wear anything heavy. And he's like, yeah, he's like, my nose must be fucked. In the crack bitch's bar, there's a rat gets caught in a trap.
Yeah.
Like, in her place, which is, like, obviously implying that shit's about to hit the fan. And she picks it up. She puts it in a garbage bag. And she goes to the bitten guy who's sitting there who looks like he's at death's door. And she's like, do you mind putting this in the bin for me? So he snatches it off.
Could you imagine walking into a bar and the barmaid's like, can you put this in the bin for me? Like, no, I can't.
I assume it's the same sort of thing as in they're all close-knit. But it is funny to see. You're like, no.
I'm not touching your dead rat.
No. But he does. And he takes it outside and starts eating it.
Yeah. And she's like, cheers, the next drink's on me.
What's funny, because she's looking out the window like, is he eating that rat? I mean, it's gone, so fair enough.
Waste not, want not.
Yeah, I did tell him to get rid of the garbage. I mean, I didn't say how to, so fair enough.
Goes back in, turns out he's normally like, why did you tell me to eat that dead rat?
Yeah.
I told you to get rid of it. Yeah, but you didn't tell me how. I meant put it in the bin, not eat it. Okay.
It was in a bin bag.
Oh, it was disgusting.
Do you usually eat things from bin bags? No. Ball. Are you like... You, that no was a bit strange. Do you eat... Have you been eating things out of garbage?
Sometimes.
Yeah. So not often.
Most days.
I wouldn't say often.
Only days that end in Y.
This fucking plague started with you, didn't it, you cunt? Eating all this fucking garbage. I've had enough of this. Get out of my bar. Take my garbage out while you're at it.
In the bin.
Yeah, don't eat more.
Oh, he's already eating it.
Just finish what's in your mouth. Put the rest in the bin.
All my crack needles were in there.
Oh, I've ate them too.
I think I'm going to die.
Yeah. Casey heads through the park, I guess, and she starts hearing...
She has a bit of an episode, doesn't she?
Yeah, well, she starts hearing weird noises, and I assume that it was something to do with, like, PTSD or something.
Through the way the camera's moving, I think that's the vibe they were trying to give off.
I mean, it makes sense, I guess, doesn't it? And she finds a bicycle covered in blood.
I'll have that.
I was going to say, yeah. She does the next best thing. She's like, I'll take it. Imagine if you went to, like, buy a bicycle, and it's covered in blood, this
We'll
bicycle.
Give you 10% off.
Yeah, I'll be. Yeah, right. That's a pretty good deal.
It might be AIDS blood, but...
Yeah. I can wash it.
Save 20 quid.
With my tongue. I'll just lick this off.
Where's that guy that eats trash gone?
Yeah, you
can. Can you clean my bike? Yeah. You're all right, then.
How much do you want? I'm getting paid.
I usually pay them. Yeah. Paying me? Nobody is paying me. I am the one who is paying them.
So there's another news article about they're actually closing the roads now, because they're like, actually, this might be a bit fucked up. I think we might not have done the right thing when we told them, don't worry, nothing's related.
I wonder how many people are roaming about and go, it's just a flu. Yeah. It's just the flu.
You just got people on the street like drinking bleach. He told us drinking bleach would be all right. Give a nice clean out. And in the bar, we go into the bathroom, and there's this fucking, I don't know, like Wall Street guy, fixing his hair.
He looks like such a fucking twat.
Yeah, he does. He looks like someone we know. And he realizes. Wait, I think he hears like a noise coming from the stall or something. Because he goes in there, and there's like, I don't know, like a few dead people in there. With the bitten guy. The guy from the bar who's eating trash.
Well, he sees, like, the dead person and all the blood. And this doesn't seem to faze him. It's like, pretty normal for a New York.
for New York, to be fair. Yeah. And then the bitten guy's like, oh, not usually people here at the crime scene. But he's killed, I assume.
Good.
Yeah. Two other patrons have, like, gone into the back of the bar. I'd be like, get out of my fucking bar. And they're just, like, getting it on. But unfortunately, the woman has been bitten, and she bites this poor man's tongue off. Because he runs out, doesn't he?
Yeah, he just spits blood everywhere.
Yeah, you're like, could you not? Well, I know you've had your
I know it's New York, but could you not?
And then the whole fucking bar turns into pandemonium, because loads of people start getting attacked. And I think they turn quite quickly as well, don't they? Because unless it's like dependent on how badly you've been
bitten.
But it's great, because there's a guy in here who starts fighting them with a frying pan.
It's brilliant. He just instantly on it, like, get the pan out. Get the pan out.
And he's fucking good at it as well, doesn't he? He takes out, like, four people.
He even, like, saves people. He's not even just in it for himself.
No, he goes outside. And, yeah. And he eventually runs down the street, and he's locked out by Larry Fassenden, which a lot of people in the horror community will recognise that name. He's literally in this for, like... two shots, I think.
Yeah.
But fair enough. I think he does have quite a bit to do with, like, you know, like, low-budget things and stuff, like, in the horror community. Because he's always in, like, bits of things. Apart from that film you like, was it I Bury the Dead?
Yes.
He's got a main role in that, hasn't he?
Has he?
I'm pretty sure he's, like, is he not the second main character? I think I've only seen that film once, so I'm not sure. Anyway, he's big in horror. He's in this movie. But he locks the frying pan man out of a gate. Just like, no, I'm not letting you in. It's like, mate, they're not even near me. No, I'm not letting you in. So Frank Clutch and Charlie are all hanging about. And they get attacked by the super, who has fully turned now. And they end up fighting him off and locking him in a cupboard where he stays for most of the movie now. So they head off to go and help fucking Reggie, who's like...
Yeah.
obviously, you know. And
because the other old geezer explains, and he's like, yeah, yeah. He turned into a big fucking rat, and we had to lock him in the closet. Yeah. The delivery was fucking hilarious. He turned into a
big fucking rat. It's like typical New York.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're talking about zombie rats.
So it's typical New York.
Clutch goes up and tells Otto as well, because it takes Otto, like, the rest of the movie. Tells Otto to come down to his place, because it's funny, because Otto takes the rest of the movie to, like, sort himself out.
We just, like, forgot about him at some point. We were like, is Otto still alive?
Yeah.
And we were both like, I don't care.
Casey's, you know, making her way through this... Oh, for fuck's sake. She's making her way through the streets now on this fucking stolen bicycle, but, you know, fair enough, I suppose. It's a pandemic.
Yeah.
So Clutch decides to... He obviously knows that Crack Bitch is outside, so he's like, right,
I've got to go get that poontang.
I love her, so I'm going to go get her. And it's funny, because he's putting on, like, gloves at this point, and me and you were kind of... We didn't really think of it, did we? Goes outside.
Punches the fuck... out of the zombies.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you really are an ex-boxer.
Like he's knocking them all out on one hit. Just like, psh,
psh. It's great.
Mate, he's an American. He probably owns a gun. And he's like, oh, I've got fists.
Yeah, well, we said that, didn't we? Because we're like, I mean, he's on the street now. You'd think he'd just pick up a weapon. But he's like, nah.
Got my fist. Slow me down.
He also beats up Nosferatu.
Which was weird. Because none of the other zombies look like Nosferatu. Yeah. But this one looks the spit of Nosferatu.
Yeah.
It was a weird reference, assuming that's what it was.
Yeah, it's got to be a reference in it, because he's the spit of Nosferatu.
Say that.
So Nosferatu does look like a bit of a rat.
I mean, yeah, he's very rat-like, but so, none of the others look like that.
So he eventually reaches, you know, Crack Bitch's bar, and he's kind of like sneaking about looking for it. This is where he finds her in the kind of like the booze cupboard. They have kind of like a little moment, don't they?
Yeah, they start getting a bit frisky. They don't take it too far, like, but they're getting very touchy feely.
Like I know you might die at any time, but I mean, maybe try and get out first, and then
suck me off, then we'll leave. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, I mean...
Did come out my way to save you, so I feel like you owe me a little bit.
Well, he probably should have got it before he got back, shouldn't he? Because...
We'll get to that.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny, because in this bit, you see the frying pan man? He gets into, like... He gets into, like, a car, you know, to get away from everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And Larry Fassenden shows up, obviously in the similar situation as what he would...
Yeah, like knocking in the window, oh, help me. Just flip them off.
Yeah.
And then the best thing is he lowers his seat so he doesn't have to watch him get ripped to shreds.
Yeah. It's quite a nice guy, really, isn't he? He's kind of like, well, I don't really want to watch you die, to be honest with you. Like,
don't want to help you, but no, don't want to watch you.
I mean, he didn't help him.
I would help you, mate, but I ain't got my frying pan. So, sorry.
Yeah, like, he can only fight... This is ridiculous. Right, I'm holding my breath for about 10 minutes, so if I die... Well...
Fingers crossed.
So there's kind of like a semi, you know, kind of montage-y scene now, because you kind of see what each of the characters are doing.
Yeah, there's a bit of back and forth. They do this quite a lot.
This film is very back and forth. Yeah, it's all very, like, you know, chip-chop. Frank watches they're inside the apartment still, and he's watching because the rat people are bashing against the door trying to get in. Sorry, not the rat people. It's the super is in the cupboard trying to bash to get away. And it's funny, because Frank's sitting there, like, shivering, holding a fucking cigarette, just like nearly crying. It's like, I mean, I probably would if there was a rat person in my cupboard, to be fair. I'm with you there.
This was exactly what I was like last time there was a rat man in my cupboard.
Yeah, but I need
we've all been through it.
Need a joint. I can't deal with this. Don't know about this. Reggie and Charlie are listening to the radio, you know, trying to hear what's going on. And Casey's still fucking running about. She's running for most of this film, this poor girl. And what she arrives to, it isn't that good. Clutching the Crack Bitch, they get joined by the Frying Pan Man. It's funny, because when they reach him, he kind of, they're kind of like, oh, do you know what's going on outside? And he just turns to them and goes, they're rat people. And I'm like, yeah, they are. They are rat people. Imagine if you were just like, one of them looks like Nosferatu. And then Clutch is like, oh, yeah, I fought him. Yeah.
Hey, you don't have to worry about him.
I forgot to mention as well, he kills the rat, the Nosferatu man, by picking him up, turning him round, and bending him backwards on a street sign. And I was like, that's pretty badass, to be fair. Like, you're all right, Clutch, to be honest. I love my people who can snap people's backs on street signs.
Snap me, Daddy.
Oh. Casey finds a van, and some poor fucker's getting eaten inside the van, and she's kind of got to do the whole, you know, sneaking round. There's a corpse in the front as well, so she, like, has to pull this corpse out, which, you know, sets the alarm off, and she gets in just in time. It's one of those. It's pretty well done. It's just a very by-the-numbers scene. Because she's doing through most of the movie. She's like sneaking around trying to get. So Clutch and company, they head out of the bar, and Clutch has to fight the bitten man, the man that the guy that ate the dead rat from the garbage bag. While he's fighting him, the poor frying pan man gets unfortunately overwhelmed and dragged away. It's annoying as well, because he's like, I think he's trying to get through a door or barricade the door or something, and the rats just come through the bottom and pull him through. And you're like, oh, he was one of the best characters. Where's his frying pan?
Exactly, if he had that, he'd be fine.
Yeah,
he would have made it to the end.
Luckily, Clutch and Crack Bitch get out, though. Frank, he's still, you know, still looking at this fucking cupboard door. And I think it goes quiet all of a sudden, doesn't it? Because he's does the exact thing I wouldn't do, because I'd be like, thank God, he's gone quiet. But he's like, oh, no, I must check on it. Goes in the fucking cupboard, and it turns out the super has eaten his way through the ceiling. I mean, he is a rat, I suppose.
I was going to say.
Kind of makes sense, actually. It's funny, because Frank's just like, son of a bitch. So he hears the super, like, going about through the ceiling, and the super kind of fucking comes down and gets the cat, the poor cat.
Yeah,
cat
just, like, eating. Swipes at him.
Yeah. Frank does a great thing here. He grabs, like, an aerosol can. I really like this next shot, actually, because the super's eating the cat, like, up the fireplace, and Frank kind of like bends down and waits for him to pop his head out, and he comes like down the chimney upside down, so you see his hands kind of like grasp around the fireplace, and he you know pulls his head down, and then Frank just blasts it with a fire. Yeah, with the CGI for that's even terrible.
Oh, I know.
It's like, because you've not got real fire. It's an
couldn't afford a real aerosol can.
Yeah. In the next scene as well, poor Otto's white rat, he gets taken through the fucking wall. I was like, stop killing all the animals.
You'd think they wouldn't eat rats.
Yeah. I suppose rats eat other rats. So.
Yeah, I suppose. Yes, they're not fussy, are they?
I don't give a fuck, I'll eat you. But Otto, fine, it takes his rat being pulled through the wall and eaten for him to eventually go, oh yeah, I should probably go join up with the rest of the people.
Yeah, because doesn't, like, Clutch come to get him at some point? It's like, no, my mum said I'm grounded.
Yeah, earlier, Clutch comes down and says, you know, like, get upstairs, and he's like, I'm grounded. He's like, I'm ungrounding you. There's deaths. Get upstairs. I think
the pandemic sort of negates the grounding.
Yeah. Casey ends up converging with Clutch and Crackbitch now, finally, because she has kind of like a dad moment, doesn't she? Where she kind of goes, oh, fuck. It's because I think she nearly runs him over. She ends up running over a different, like, rat person. But they get in, and unfortunately, Crack Bitch is killed instantly.
I don't know why this was just hilarious to me.
No, it was pretty funny, because it's like, ha-ha. They all get in, like, a van, and then it's... No, sorry, it's the van that fucking Casey took, and it's a pickup truck. And all the fucking rat people jump on the back of the pickup truck and drag Crack Bitch, like, through the... they're trying to pull her back as well, and they're just like, nope.
There's no point wasting our strength.
Yeah.
It's just so sad when somebody, like, goes out of their way to do something heroic, and then it's all for nothing.
I know, like...
So he, I could have just stayed in
literally
the apartment.
His whole journey out here was for nothing. I mean, yeah, he met up with his daughter, which is good, but... He didn't go out to meet up with his daughter.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she could have got there fine by herself.
I mean, she's pretty badass.
She didn't need help, unlike the Crack Bitch, who was useless.
But they get back to the apartment building, and Frank lets them in, like, you know, kind of just in time. And then Clutch and his daughter have, like, a moment, because obviously they haven't seen each other for...
Years, probably.
Probably at least three. I think a tour is three. I don't know if they come back every now and again. I'm really not sure.
I would have thought so.
He's definitely not seen her for a while. And, you know, I'm guessing this is the first time that he's seen his daughter's face all scarred up. Because he's like, fuck, like, you've been through some... Because they have that moment, don't they, where they don't say anything. But
they
it's,
know.
It's like, yeah, you've been through some shit. Like, I'm, you know, you're home now. It's okay. Don't worry. You're back.
No, do worry, because there's rat people. Yeah, there's so rat I wasn't people. Expecting so many rat people when I got back.
We get another news article about, this is the for me, if this was like Corby, that you know, our town, I would be getting worried, because it's the news article where they essentially say, like, you know, there's no new cases outside of the city. You know, the city's been quarantined and there's some sort of secret operation going on, which I'd be like, oh, we're going to be nuked or something. At this point, Clutch and you know, the rest of them, they hear noises in the ceiling just before the electric goes out. And this is when the rat people, like, arrive, like, in force. There's loads of them coming up. You know,
yeah, it's proper typical, swarming at this point. The typical
zombie horde is coming up now. Clutch, he starts calling through the vent, doesn't he? Because he's like, I think Charlie and Reggie are still in their room. So he calls through the vent, like, you know, stay in your house, block the fucking doors and just stay put. Now, Charlie apparently, it's funny because Charlie's the younger one of them and he apparently can't hear a fucking thing. So the old boy says, like, get out of my way. Like, your ears are terrible. I'll have a listen. And it, you know, it basically, you know, he is, he's like, right. He says, stay here. Fucking Charlie goes, no, I'm going to
the fucking door.
I'm going to go and check it. So he goes outside, sees like a rat person with no face. The face is literally like eating off and he's like,
it's quite eerie. Looking.
Oh, yeah, no, it looks grim. It literally looks like it's got no face.
Yeah, it's just black.
Yeah, and Charlie spots it and he's like, fuck this. Goes back inside, but the rat people have noticed them now, so they start bashing in the door. Charlie has to help Reggie, like, kind of down the corridor with his oxygen tank, and they get into, like, a different room just in time, but the rat people get inside the house. And this is probably my favourite scene in the movie, because it is actually pretty tense. They're kind of hiding behind a door, and, you know, it's it's the first good look you get at a rat person as well, I think, because it's, like, sniffing at the door, and they're kind of, like, on either side of the door, on the other side, and the rat person, like, kind of, like, goes away. He's kind of like, oh, no, there's nothing really. And they, you know, they're looking around the rest of the house. But unfortunately, Reggie drops his oxygen tank and it makes a big clang on the floor. So obviously the rat people all go, you know, come in and start. They start fucking eating the Reggie and they start eating Charlie. And then Reggie does the best thing in the fucking movie, because he's like, he's literally like, he's getting eaten, right? And he doesn't even say like, oh, I'm getting eaten, I've got to do this. He goes, I'm...
What the fuck was that?
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
Was that one of your mates?
I don't know. But I fucking felt that.
Fucking hell. They ain't fucking playing about now, are they? Good.
That's, I don't know. That's rather worrying. It's the rat people.
First Dan, now this.
Yeah. Reggie does, like, the fucking best thing ever. And, you know, like I said, it's not the fact that he's getting eaten. It's the fact that he's like, he says, he's like, Charlie, I can't hold him off anymore. And it's like, you're getting eaten and you're more worried about holding them off. You're a fucking man, mate. So what he does is he gets his lighter, unscrews his fucking oxygen tank and blows them up. It's great because the other boy, Charlie, he's getting eaten and he's like, yeah, do it. Blow them up, blow them. You're like, these are the best people ever.
I know, right?
Like, these are the kind of people you'd want to be with in an apocalypse, I guess, isn't it? Because they're like, fuck it, let's just blow ourselves up. We're going to die anyway.
Once they get got, they turn into a handy bomb.
Yeah. Yeah.
As cool as it was, realistically, this is probably going to take the entire fucking apartment block down.
Yeah, I feel like, well, it would at least take the fucking ceiling. Do you know what I mean? The top floors would probably, because
they
collapse,
even like, but... go out and you see a shot from outside and it's all just contained to in the window, their block.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it would be a major explosion.
No, but
I think
it would do damage.
So the clutch and the rest of them, they have to leg it because the rat people are actually getting in now. They're even getting into their apartment, and they go out onto the fire escape, and unfortunately Frank is dragged inside.
They do their best to say, they do what they did with the crack bitch. It's like, they're trying, but it's like, come on, guys.
It's worse as well, because like, this is like Clutch's best mate.
Yeah.
And he is, like you said, he's genuinely trying to get him out.
I think Frank plays it quite well. You can see, like, the fear in his face. He's like, I don't want to get ripped apart by rat people.
But then I think you kind of get the which I liked. Also, when he's getting pulled back, you kind of get that resignation in his face where he's like, go.
I'm done now.
Like, yeah. I love you. Like, you know, as corny as it sounds, but he probably is like, I love you, go away. like, you're going to get eaten by rat people. Do you think I would ever say that to you? Run.
Yeah, I did think.
Yeah.
Why would you think that? I don't know. I just always had a thought you'd one day say run or you'll get eaten by rat people.
You're a weird person, Clutch.
That's why I love you so.
Yeah. But it cuts to the next morning. Well, maybe not cuts to the next morning, but the sun's rising now. It's the next morning. And we see that hazmat people have begun to arrive in the city. Because they go up to the preacher, don't they? I didn't mention this, but you see, you very, 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 very briefly see this preacher at the beginning. And then at the end, he's kind of like, we thought it was going to be some sort of revelation, yeah, didn't we?
Because there's even weird, like, chanty noises.
Yeah, at this part.
Playing
like,
throughout the street.
And it seems like he's sitting there praying, which, no, I think he is actually sitting there praying, but I thought he was going to be some sort of, like, rat person big bad.
You know, like
the final villain.
I wish.
Would have been fucking awesome. But no, the hazmat people kind of go... This is how you realise how they're picking people at the end. They go up to him and he kind of like looks up and he looks normal. He's got... Yeah, I don't think he's even got any blood on him. And the hazmat people just leave him. Yeah. They're like, oh, never mind. We'll keep going. But they enter the apartment. I'm assuming they're going down block by block, cleaning this out. They enter the apartment building.
And they very swiftly get up the stairs.
Takes them like fucking... It's like that bit from Holy Grail, isn't it? Yeah. Where he's running and they keep looking and they're like, and then all of a sudden he's like, Clutch and Casey, they head up to the roof where they begin to face off against the remaining rap. It's kind of like a last stand, isn't it? Yeah. They're all just, they're going for it as well. Like, and Casey's like just as badass as Clutch is. She's just like wrenching people like left and right, and then obviously Clutch is just punching them to bits. I think Clutch gets into, you know, like, the mum shows up, doesn't she? Otto's mum, crack bitch, shows up. And she's, I think she's, like, kind of about to get Clutch from behind.
Yeah.
Before.
So I don't even think Otto realises that this is his mum
first. Not at first, I don't think. But he does the camera thing, doesn't he? Like you said, it comes back at the end. He uses the camera. And the mum kind of, like, backs off a bit. Because she's like, what the fuck? And then he obviously realises it's his mum.
I think he literally goes, Mum?
Yeah, and I think, like, Clutch gives
him... Oh, yeah, I should have told her she was dead.
Yeah. We should have
really... I went out to try and fuck her, but then I accidentally got her killed.
Yeah.
Soz, mate.
What I like, though, is that Clutch... You can see Clutch giving him enough time to go, like, to deal with the fact that it's his mum.
Yeah.
And then he's like, right, I've got to do this now, mate. I'm sorry. And he just snaps her fucking neck. And it's like, fair play to you for, like... giving him, like, a little closure, do you know what I mean? Like, say goodbye quickly, because I've got to kill this woman.
Again.
Yeah. Frank shows up as well. And Clutch and Frank have this kind of, like, weird moment at first, don't you? Because it's as if, like, Frank recognises him.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like, you know, and I think Clutch is about to punch him, and then Clutch is like, wait a minute, what the fuck? And they're almost about to hug.
Yeah.
Isn't they? It looks like they're about to, like, hug each other. And then you realise that, unfortunately, Clutch has been bitten on the neck in the scuffle. And Clutch does, well, you know, he stays true to his character and he does the right thing.
There, he just wraps his arms around Frank and then yeets himself off the fucking building.
Yeah. Casey's obviously like, I've just got my dad back.
This is fucking gash.
Yeah, yeah. And then the hazmat people arrive on the roof. And you're like, could you not have been... You've got rifles. My dad's just jumped off there. So they see Casey and they see Otto. And the only thing that I can assume at this bit is that Otto doesn't have any blood on him. And she does. And they shoot her with this, like, full needle. I've never seen, like, a dart gun like that. No, it's like an actual fucking... I can't remember the name.
Syringe.
Hypothermic needle or whatever they're called or something. But it's an actual syringe that they shoot out of a gun.
Yeah.
It's just like, jeez, that...
So it's not like when you see someone get shot by, like, a tranquilizer.
You know, like a dart. Yeah. Where it's like, oh, I get it. It's a dart. It's just the same
a syringe.
Thing. Yeah. So, like, how big was the barrel of that gun? Fuck it. It's got a plunger on it. Yeah, they shoot her with a needle and they just take Otto, I think, because they're like, he's all right, we'll take him. Casey has kind of like a few minutes to deal with the fact that she's
going to fucking die.
Yeah, and she kind of like hangs over the roof to look at her dad one last time before dying. And then we get one last final shot of Clutch and Frank's bodies. Well, Clutch isn't dead properly yet. He's kind of like having his last breaths. And then that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
It dies with Clutch.
That is Zombie Virus Zombie at Mulberry Virus. Street.
Fucking hell.
What a title.
You and your titles, like...
I think we'll just call this one Mulberry Street.
The only thing I can think is that there's a movie, a British movie, that's got a similar title. That's the only thing.
Or maybe they just thought the title was too vague.
Yeah, maybe. I wouldn't be surprised. Oh, people are not going to know zombies in this. Tell them. Ruin the movie for us. Not even fucking zombies, though.
It's not like when 28 Days came out. It was like, we better call it Zombie Virus at 28 Days Later.
Can you imagine?
Oh, Zombie Virus at the Night of the Living Dead. I
don't know if those films would have done as well, to be honest. What are these things?
Right, do you want to hit me with your ratings?
Yeah, so as a film, it's literally got no budget in it. Like, it's got nothing. But... they do a fair bit with it. Like, I'm quite impressed with what they did with the budget. The acting's, like, pretty much sort of really good. Yeah, yeah. Like, not everybody. Nick D'Amici's great, but he always is. Most of the people in the apartment, but especially, like, Reggie and Charlie, are, like, really well acted.
Yeah.
It's very, like, by-the-numbers zombie movie.
Do you know what I mean? It's 2006, isn't it? This is when everybody was just doing a zombie film.
Yeah. The only good thing that this one's got going for it, it is it's more about the characters than it is about anything else in it. It's not really like... it's focused on the zombie that... Jesus, I'm saying it now. It's focusing on the rat person, like, infection, but it's more about the people that are involved with it. And it's kind of like semi-social commentary as well in it, you know, where, like, because there's that whole bit at the beginning where he says to they're talking about the eviction and they're like, oh, the bad guys won again, and then kind of like at the end of this film the bad guys kind of win again, don't they, because the hazmat people come in and just clean up, get rid of all the it's kind of like they, you know, because all pretty much all the people in the apartment building got evicted, you know, like by the end of it, just not by the way they thought. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it done a good thing with its budget, and it's by the numbers, but it's good enough to keep you going. I think it's a decent... I was gonna give it a 3 out of 5. I'm gonna give it a 3.5 out of 5 because of the budget, to be fair. Like, I think it gets points for doing, you know, kind of the same things that other zombie films have done, and they've fallen shorter than this film anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's very well done. Fun factor, I mean, probably a 3.5 out of 5. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think I'd watch it again. It's nothing amazing, but it's fine. It was a fun enough movie to watch, put it that way. Like I said, I'd rewatch it. What about you?
I'm going to go for a 3. Pretty much everything you said. My main problem with it is how choppy the film is.
The whole thing, back and forth, back and forth.
There's so many, like, 20-second scenes where it's like...
It does make it
a bit jarring.
It's something to do with, obviously, the budget, you know what I mean? Like, and the cameras they were using, I guess. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I think a lot of it's handheld. So I assume they've chopped and changed it probably to get around that. But I get it.
Yeah, once it gets going, it's decent. Like you say, the acting's mostly pretty decent. The only sort of actor I think wasn't great was Otto. But you can forgive him because he's a kid.
Yeah.
Some of the effects aren't great, but some of the ones
near the end of the actual rat people.
Yeah, like the actual infected look alright. It's mostly the CGI bits.
Of course. The good thing is about it is that it's shot very well in the sense that it doesn't focus on the rat people enough for you to get a good enough look at it to go, oh, that looks terrible.
Yeah, I think they're very smartly done.
Yeah, like, but I would agree with that with a high budget film, because I think when you see the monsters straight away,
you don't see too much anyway.
But the close up that you see of the rat person sniffing at the door handle, you know, near the end where they're when he's trying to get Reggie and Charlie,
even that they do well, because it's like it's through the I can't remember what you call them, the little peepholes in your door, so it's creepy. A distorted view.
It looks like actually creepy, to be honest with you. Like, the way they've shot it is that it doesn't really need to be a good effect for you to go ooh.
And fun fact is about the same, about a 3. It's a slap bang in the middle infection movie.
Yeah, the plot is very, like I said, the plot's very basic. It's more about the characters than getting...
I think your enjoyment of this is how much you can tolerate the 4,000th zombie film.
Yeah,
if you're sick of them, and there's no need to watch this.
If you can't watch low-budget films, you can't watch this. Like, this is... I really enjoy low-budget films.
Yeah, definitely.
When they're done well.
Yeah.
And this is done well.
Or even when they're done appallingly.
Yeah, of course, if they're so bad, they're good. But I thought this was done, yeah. Done
yeah, well. Yeah. I'd say if you're sick of zombie films, there's no need to watch this. But if you're one of the people that can't get enough of them, this one's worth checking out.
Yeah. Especially if you're a fan of Nick D'Amici or Jim Mickle, because it's cool seeing their earlier stuff.
It is always fun to do that when you find a director. You think, oh, let's see what they've done before. Right, I think that wraps it up this week, unless you've got anything else you want to add.
No, it was quite a nice detour from the Texas Chainsaw Marathon. Like, it was a little bit lighter, do you know what I mean? Something we didn't have to focus on as much, so, yeah.
My turn to pick next week, and it's got
rat people in it. It's zombie virus on Mulberry Street.
I'm not
going
to lie, there was a film I was like, should I do that next week? Because I think that would fit, but I'll save that one for another time.
Okay.
The film I've got next week is going to be a bit of an experience for both of us, because I've not watched it myself yet.
Whatever.
No.
Oh, okay.
But I thought, you know what, I'll wait, and we can enjoy this one together. Oh, despite being quite a recent film, it's already being called one of the worst films ever made.
Is this Cats?
Yes, next week we're doing Cats. And I think this is going to be even harsher for me, because it's actually made by someone that I quite admire. So that will be an experience for both of us. Tune in next week if you want to listen to that. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bite something good.